Hello and welcome to Maximum Kid Rock. It was written and researched by Michael Thompson, music is by Damon Kirkham, and it is read by Sean Jones.
Sit there when you're little before you get into this and you're like, yeah, I want to play arenas and I want to tour bus. You know, what would that be like to be at that level and hang out around other famous people? And anybody that says they don't think about that shit is a fucking liar, you know?
Popular music is a multifaceted, hard to define phenomenon. Compared with so many other creative art forms that have evolved over the years, it is arguably the fastest growing and most experimental. In the 30 years between the 1960s and 1990s, we have seen the advent of psychedelia, progressive rock, disco, funk, hip-hop, rap, acid house, and drum and bass, to name but a few musical styles. Numerous new ideas have been developed which push the boundaries of music even further. Few other arts have been so universally significant. There has also been little else more exciting. Leading a rock star's life may well have become a cliché in modern times, but the spirit of sex, drugs, and rock and roll continues to live on as strong as ever. As long as there is fun to be had, the music and those who play it will be there to live the dream. Often, it is this music that provides an escape route to people stuck in their otherwise ordinary lives. A hard day at the office or studying in the classroom may not seem so bad after feeling an adrenaline rush from listening to your favourite song. For those who don't want to live a run-of-the-mill existence, it's rock and roll that is there to save them. People identify with it on all levels, and the world would not be the same, nor as much fun, without it. But music needs to revolutionise and develop in order to remain exciting, interesting, controversial, and dangerous. However, artists have to be sure that their music is not only revolutionary and that it wins people over, but also that it keeps them satisfied. There is often the temptation, once you strike the big time, to stick to the formula that originally made you successful. The saying goes, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. And that is not very revolutionary at all. From the 1980s to the late 1990s, the number of those musicians openly living the rock and roll dream had dwindled considerably. Obviously, the kids were still having fun, but aside from in the pages of the rock press and on the dance floors in Ibiza, it was not too apparent. For the first time in living memory, there was an absence of a widespread subculture, such as acid house or punk, with which young people could identify. Not since the mid-1970s, when punk first broke and irreversibly shook up both the world and the music business, had there been any dramatic change in the music scene. Of course, there have been some exceptions. Take the Happy Mondays, one of the most wild, outrageous bands of modern times, who dragged the sex, drugs, and rock and roll message screaming from the 80s to the 90s. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are another example, whose tales of life on the road are legendary. Rockers Aerosmith are a textbook case too, and their frontman Steve Tyler and Joe Perry scaled new heights in the quest for music biz excess. It can surely be no coincidence that these three bands all have one thing in common. Not only did they live for the rock and roll dream, but they were also innovators. Never musically conservative and not once sticking to the straight and narrow, they were exciting because they were daring and different. The way they achieved this was simple. They blended different styles of music into something strange and unique, but at the same time, quite fantastic. A notable example of this was Aerosmith's 1986 collaboration with hip-hop trio Run-DMC. The track they recorded together was Walk This Way, which was to become an instant classic and a global smash hit. It also became known as being the first commercially successful instance of heavy rock music colliding head-on with hip-hop and rap. It was to start a new chapter in music history as being the definitive crossover of musical genres. Thereafter, rap would find its way into the repertoire of bands like the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Rage Against the Machine. Rock would likewise infiltrate the music of Ice-T, the Beastie Boys, and hundreds of other hip-hop style acts. If all this was not enough, dance, folk, psychedelia, and virtually all other styles of music entered the mix. With the breakthrough of sampling, the music industry had now become a gigantic melting pot. Never before had so much been blended together to form so many new sounds. But in the late 1990s, this crossover of styles may easily have faded away for good. Just like in the pre-punk 1970s, music had once more become very generic. Rock was now, more often than not, just simply rock, whereas dance was getting more and more purist in its outlook. Even the term crossover had somehow become a standard style in itself. Perhaps there was nothing left to be mixed together. Maybe there was nothing new to take a crack at. And even if there was anyone going to have a good time trying? Of course there was. Living the life of a rock star and making music that was a glorious myriad of styles was something that one young lad from Detroit aspired to from a very young age. His name? Robert Ritchie. Known to you and me as Kid Rock.